Hey y'all, are you looking for Clarella? Some chocolate superfood with organic vanilla. Food-based vitamins keep you a healthy fella. Use your wife's credit card, don't even have to tell her. Go to Natural News Store, that's what it's there for. Get your superfoods, herbs, and a lot more. Feel young like you did before, and let Mother Nature's medicine work it like it's there for. I know you care for your health, therefore, don't eat those GMOs, throw them out the back door. Don't stay poor with your diet if it's killing you. Enjoy your life with nutrition that's filling you. We got freeze-dried fruit that's organic, super clean, superfoods, best on the planet. Blueberry, strawberry, even pomegranate. Yeah, it's ready to ship, and if you buy it, you can have it. Yeah, this is Mike Adams, the Health Ranger. Check out store.naturalnews.com for all your organic supplements and superfoods. Or call 888-959-6415. That's 888-959-6415 to order now. Coconut, maca, spirulina, goji berry, superfood protein.
Do you know someone who can benefit from this radio program? You can find the complete archives of this show and hundreds of others at naturalnewsradio.com. Just send your friend that link, naturalnewsradio.com, where they will find truly amazing interviews and information that simply isn't published anywhere else. In the Natural News Radio archives, you'll find interviews with Dr. Andrew Wakefield, Senator Rand Paul, Governor Jesse Ventura, Suzanne Summers, alternative cancer doctors, nutrition experts, preparedness experts, and a wealth of others. And it's all free. Listen in real time at naturalnewsradio.com or download the MP3 archive files anytime you want to listen on your phone, mobile devices, or personal computer. When you want articles on these topics, check out naturalnews.com with over 35,000 article pages on nutrition, natural cures, health freedom, and much more. It's all part of the Natural News Network. Thanks for listening.
Have you ever wanted to learn where you can get free food and medicine from the plants growing around your neighborhood? Or how to turn your own backyard into a food production center? Or even how to reverse cancers using the latest groundbreaking research in alternative cancer therapies? You can learn all this and more from webseed.com. It's sort of like Netflix, but it's for documentaries and how-to courses on natural health, food production, self-reliance, and other life-saving topics. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, and I created WebSeed so that listeners like you could get instant streaming access to truly groundbreaking instructional courses. Our new program called Vaccines Armed and Dangerous exposes the total fraud of modern vaccine quackery, and our Surthrival course teaches emergency preparedness, including skills like how to build your own emergency water filter. Explore over 100 valuable courses and documentaries right now at WebSeed.com.
Let freedom ring throughout the land. Let no one trade your soul for dollars' dirty hands. Demand the truth, transparency, for we must be the masters of our destiny. Let freedom ring.
Welcome. You're listening to the Know Your Rights Hour with co-hosts, Dr. Attorney and author Mayor Eisenstein and Vaccine Rights Attorney Alan Phillips, coming to you live Monday evenings here on blogtalkradio.com at 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 Central, 7 Mountain, and 6 Pacific Times. Proudly rebroadcast at naturalnewsradio.com on Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern, 12 noon Central, 11 a.m. Mountain, and 10 a.m. Pacific Times. We welcome your calls during the live show. Area code 646-478-0772. That's area code 646-478-0772. You can call in just to listen to the show by phone or to share your thoughts or ask a question. You can also email us during the week. Those email addresses are mayor, M-A-Y-E-R, at homefirst.com, mayor at homefirst.com, and attorney at vaccinerights.com. This is October 6th, 2014. I'm Vaccine Rights Attorney Alan Phillips, and with me, my wonderful co-host, whose heart is even bigger than the list of credentials behind his name. Mayor, how are you doing this evening?
Oh, wonderful, my dear friend, Alan. Absolutely wonderful. As we were just talking a little bit before the show, can we wrap our heads around what's going on with Ebola? You know, I just want to say something that I've mentioned, you know, the last couple of weeks. We've got now thousands and thousands of children who are being hospitalized with the enterovirus 68. Five children have died from it, yet we hardly have any more talk in the media about this. But even more, I found one thing as I was thinking about what we want to talk about tonight, at least part of what we're going to talk about tonight, and that is more than 75% of the children who are hospitalized with enterovirus 68 are asthmatic. Now, that's really overwhelming because there's a couple things here. One, unvaccinated children are rarely asthmatic. The incidence of asthma in unvaccinated children approaches zero, literally approaches zero, you know, which means that this is a problem that is predominantly in immune-compromised children who have asthma. And I mentioned this, but it was worthwhile mentioning again. Last week, I had a patient in the office who's been a patient of ours for about 4 years. When she came to us, she had a 2 or 3 year old who had been completely vaccinated by that time, maybe 4 year old. And she had 2 children subsequently with us, and the other 2 children aren't vaccinated at all, or unvaccinated. The older child was hospitalized a couple of weeks ago, and he's very asthmatic, the older child, severely asthmatic, with the enterovirus 68. The 2 younger children live in the same house. They rumble with each other all the time. Never get sick, the mom says, and obviously didn't have this infection, which is, you know, something that we have to look into as we talk about, Alan, we talk about vaccine, what we should be doing about it, and we really have to talk about the effects of vaccine on our immune system. We have to talk about what Dr. King has talked about so many times, that the vaccines have weakened the immune system, and the children who are vaccinated are so far sicker than the unvaccinated children.
Mayor, this is disturbing and interesting, both on so many levels. I was just looking at an article recently saying that this enterovirus 68 is now spread across 40 states, and this was a few days ago, so it may be more than that now. But they said that the virus was first identified 50 years ago, but that it's rarely tested for until cases started showing up in the Midwest and Southwest this year. So it makes you wonder what's, you know, what might be fueling that. And I know we've mentioned this before. I've seen this referred to in at least one or two articles where they were saying this is something that's showing up in vaccinated kids, but not unvaccinated kids. And you were sort of taking that a step further with the relationship between asthma and vaccines. But, you know, I don't watch much mainstream news, Mayor, but I actually flipped on the news this weekend, and whether it was by chance or unavoidable because this is what's all over the news, there was, I don't know, a half an hour or more of talking about Ebola. And Ebola is a point of concern, so I'm not at all surprised. And from our cynical comments recently about, well, they got to create a market, and one way to create a market is to keep it in the forefront of everybody's minds and make sure they're sufficiently scared so there'll be a market for the vaccine. But so I wasn't surprised at all. But is this enterovirus also in the news? Do you have an understanding or opinion about that?
Yeah, nowhere near as much. And I think the problem is that there is a Ebola vaccine. They've been working on it for 5 years, and there's evidence that it's going to be released within the next couple of weeks. You know, and there is no vaccine for the enterovirus 68 because they never thought of it as one that could scare the population. Had they known what was going to happen this year, oh my God, they would most probably start working on a vaccine. But the one thing that Mike Adams said really good in an article about EV68. And they said, since there's no vaccine, no hope of vaccine right now, Their only recommendation is to wash your hands. And what Mike said is, yeah, they just want to wash their hands of this whole problem. I thought that was perfect.
Well put. Touche, Mike.
But I can tell you what's really important. Vitamin D, and more vitamin D. You know, we know, I mean, there's not a word mentioned anywhere. This is not the cure, but it clearly will lower your statistical probability of coming down with any viral infection, be it EV68, be it Ebola, and in many times can not only prevent it, but also can shorten the duration and increase the recovery aspect of it. And one thing that must be done with every person who's being tested, see what their vitamin D levels. I can almost guarantee you that the vitamin D levels of the people who are coming down with Ebola are going to be so low that everyone would agree they need to be treated. It's such a simple and inexpensive treatment. You wonder why there's not a word mentioned. And just let me put a plug, vitamin C and probiotics, just to put the three things that have been shown to be consistently effective at lowering your statistical probability of viral or bacterial infections.
Well, the solution there is obvious, Mayor. We need to lobby for getting the pharmaceutical industry to have some sort of exclusive patent rights over vitamin D, vitamin C, and probiotics, and then they'll be pushing them, you know. Except that would never happen because that might actually cure the problems or prevent the problems, and that would then, you know, leave them without the ability to sell something ongoing and indefinitely, either over and over again, such as they do with annual flu vaccines, or, you know, we talk about this cynically, Mayor, but I can't help believe that there's, you know, a certain amount of truth to it. At one level, and I don't mean to suggest there aren't plenty of people in the mainstream medical world who want genuinely to cure and heal and prevent health problems, but it's sort of an unspoken goal of, and maybe very much spoken if we want to generalize it to, let's say, for-profit businesses in the broadest sense of that phrase. The goal, of course, is to maximize your profits. And how do you do that in healthcare? Well, hypothetically, you do that, or the profits would be maximized. It's not necessarily about what you do or don't do, but the profits would be maximized if we could maximize the number of people who were who could be sick for as long as possible without dying. You know, the more if the profits would be maximized by having as many people be as sick as possible for as long as possible without dying, because that's where you're going to have the greatest market for whatever there is available to treat people. And I'm not suggesting that people in the healthcare industry have that as a deliberate goal, though it certainly is possible that a few key decision makers make decisions consistent with that goal. I believe that happens, but I certainly don't think that there's a broad conspiracy throughout the healthcare industry, you know, amongst all nurses and doctors, or even everybody in state and federal health agencies, or throughout the pharmaceutical industry in any sort of broad or collective sense. But it presents just a really inherently difficult problem because, sort of by definition, I guess is my point here, being as generous as I can to all concerned, sort of by definition, there's an inherent contradiction in having healthcare be a for-profit industry. Now, I'm not meaning to imply any particular solution to that problem. I'm merely pointing out the conflict, and I think there may be any number of ways to address that to try and minimize or reduce that inherent conflict. And it doesn't necessarily mean socialized medicine or any other particular model that might be out there currently. But I do think it's a legitimate problem, a legitimate conflict. And, you know, what does
medicine, you know, Alan, if socialized medicine is not going to resolve the problem, because then all we're doing in the long run is replace the government with the pharmaceutical industry, and we know how tied in the government is with the pharmaceutical industry. So then you even have more of a problem of a conflict of interest, you know, in the later, unless we can get legislation, which we've talked about endlessly, that if you work in any aspect of government which affects the lives of people, you know, healthcare, education, you can't take a job in the private sector for at least 5 years after you leave the government service. That would eliminate the conflict of government officials, you know, doing things not because they're paid for it, but because they could be almost guaranteed a job, a higher paying job in the private sector.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more, Mayor. There has to be sharp lines there. And what we've seen happening increasingly, I mean, this is something that's been going on for many decades, but I think even more so and more so is this so-called partnering between the pharmaceutical industry and state and federal government for the, you know, well-being and health of all citizens, but that ends up to one degree or another being a mask that's placed on the industry's influencing government and therefore policy and law in order to enhance its own bottom line. So I couldn't agree with you more. Again, I don't think it's a black and white. Every interaction between government and industry is a bad one, but there certainly is the potential available without having those kinds of built-in protections for the industry, or any industry for that matter, to influence government and therefore policy and law to enhance its own bottom line to the potential exclusion or detriment of the stated goals, exclusion to one degree or another of the stated goals, the detriment of those people who would be served by better addressing the stated goals. And, of course, when you do that in the healthcare industry, people's lives are sometimes devastated or lost entirely, as we see with vaccines. So it's not just an intellectual issue here. It's a very real tragedy that occurs with vaccines and probably in other issues as well. We've got I'm going to change topics here, Mayor, although feel free to bring me back if there was something else that you wanted to add there.
Oh, love. I just want one more thing to add to kind of close this evening on Ebola. Everyone should look at vitamin D, vitamin C, and probiotics, you know. And, I do want to mention one more thing here. They told us that it has to be transmitted. It's not transmitted, you know, in the air. It has to be the transmission of bodily fluids from a person who's infected to somebody else. Can you explain to me then why they went and they washed down the houses of the people who are living there who had Ebola? If Ebola can't be spread except from person contact, what were they doing there? Is that all image? Or have they not been telling us the truth? Or do they not know how it's being transmitted?
Well, and I had heard some information, Mayor, that this particular strain appeared to be working differently from the prior strains of, what was it, a couple of decades ago at this point now, I think, but suggesting that there was either a different design if this was manufactured or some sort of mutation. But I guess I've seen information that makes that comment confusing. And I heard the same thing on the mainstream news this week, and they were clarifying this is only transmitted by blood or feces or vomit or whatever. It's not, you know, if someone, one doctor said that if you were right next to somebody and they sneezed right, you know, at you and you had an open cut or something like that, maybe it was, you know, remote possibility that you could contract it that way, but even then probably not, was sort of the impression I got. And yet I thought I had read information recently suggesting that this strain appeared to be not quite as virulent as prior ones, but spread more easily. So I don't know. There's conflicting information out there. And then I just saw some information very recently claiming that the Ebola patient in Texas died, although the hospital and the family are saying, no, he's alive. He's still there being treated. So now there's mixed information about that going around. So I don't know. You know, there's always people, for one reason or another, who either get confused or deliberately put out conflicting information for one reason or another, and that just sort of adds to the complexity of this, because there's, you know, quite full spectrum of theories here about what's really going on and where it's headed. And of course, the more controversial ones being the theories that say that this is part of a mass population reduction agenda that's now going to be playing out worldwide. Now, people said that about the swine flu virus, and that didn't happen. And whether or not that's, you know, a hypothetical real agenda or not is a separate topic of discussion. But there's already enough conflicting information, I guess, or confusing information as to raise some legitimate questions about what really is going on. And I guess, of course, ultimately we just have to see how it plays out, see where it goes.
I'm sorry for the tangent here. You were going to bring up a point before that.
Oh, no, fine. It's the one of the beauties of this show and working with you, Mayor, is that we can flow where the conversation takes us with whatever either of us has to share. But there was something I did want to make sure we got in this evening. The Nurses Against Mandatory Vaccines, there's a website. They use the acronym NAMV, Nurses Against Mandatory Vaccines, and I believe it's NAMV.org. They have a nationwide call to action for November 1st, 2014, which is a Saturday, I believe. And they are calling for protests and marches to be held in your city. Stand alongside nurses and other healthcare professionals as we protest forced vaccination policies in the workplace. You do not have to be a nurse or healthcare worker to join us. So on November 1st, join thousands of nurses, healthcare workers, and private citizens nationwide as we march in protest in home cities against mandatory vaccines. So I'll pay. You know, I'll try to keep tabs on what's going on with this, Mayor, so that we can announce some updates here. You know, one of the things that I have said over and over again is while being informed is the critical first step, that alone isn't likely to change anything. That we need to proactively take action if we're going to bring about any sort of real meaningful change. And one of the things that I'm always encouraging people to do is become legislatively active, because a lot of this with the vaccine issue falls or boils down to what does the law say or not say in any given state, and in some respects federal law at the federal level. But I think there is a potential here, Mayor, for a huge statement to be made if this is well organized and pulled off in even just a few major cities, enough people who are participating here to draw some attention. And so that could be really helpful. Hopefully would be something that would communicate to many healthcare workers who don't know that there's anybody else out there. You know, some nurses come to me and say, how do I avoid the flu shot? And, you know, there's five other people in my department who don't want this either, you know. And others come to me and say they don't know if there's anybody else in the entire hospital who doesn't want the flu shot, because they're not going to bring it up and talk to other people about it and risk being criticized or made fun of or whatever by people who don't understand why there are some very real and serious issues and problems here. So it's just different with everyone everywhere. So I think this could potentially be a very productive thing. But in any event, the announcement's been made. They're going for it. And so I'd like to offer my support, as I'm sure you would too, Mayor. And I'll be glad to try and keep posted on this as it progresses. As if we hear about specific groups of people in specific cities, for example, we'll make note of that so that people will know that there's a group forming to contact and join, for example.
Yeah, no, that's I totally agree with that. I mean, it's a very exciting thing, you know, and it's kind of I think, Alan, something you pointed out last year, that a lot of the nursing unions are philosophically opposed to the mandates. They may even believe in vaccines, but they say they don't feel that their members have a right to be imposed upon them from a mandatory standpoint.
There was actually a case about that in Washington State. I forget the name of the hospital. It had the word Virginia in the name, and so a lot of people got confused and thought it was a Virginia case. It was actually in Washington State. Back in, I think, originally around maybe 2005, 2007, somewhere back in that time range, and the hospital wanted to unilaterally mandate flu shots, and in this particular situation, there was a nurses' union, and the nurses opposed the unilateral mandate on the part of the hospitals. And Mayor, it boiled down, at least in my mind, to a real simple contract principle, contract law principle, that when you have two parties to a contract, one party can't unilaterally change the terms of the contract. It seems sort of obvious. This is one of those things that's really a common sense notion. And the nurses won their case because being in a contract as union members, the hospital couldn't unilaterally add that provision. But the case actually went not only to trial in federal court, but it went up on appeal. And the Ninth Circuit, the appellate court, said the same thing, and the nurses won their case again. But, you know, Mayor, part of what really bothered me when I was reading the case was that part of the reason the nurses won their case is because in the court opinion it said that there was not this the widespread vaccination with the flu vaccine for healthcare workers or of healthcare workers was not something that was widespread policy at the time, which of course is now quickly becoming, if not already considered, widespread policy. So it made me wonder if there would be the potential for even nurses in a union for their that standard right of one party can't unilaterally change the terms of a contract, for that to somehow be overridden now that it's becoming widespread policy. But most healthcare workers in the U.S., as it's my understanding, are what are called at-will employees. They can be fired for any reason at all. And so a lot of employment law attorneys will, when they go, an employee goes to them and says, how do I avoid the flu shot? A lot of them will say, based on the feedback I get from my clients, well, there's nothing you can do about that because you can be fired for no reason. So, of course, they can fire you if you don't get a flu shot. Well, that's not entirely true. Yes, they can be fired for no reason, but they can't be fired for an unlawful reason. So if the employee has a legal right to refuse the vaccines or vaccine, then no, the employer can't fire them for refusing it. So that's where a big part of the work that I do with healthcare workers comes in, because we explore what are their legal options, how can they approach this in a way that they have a legal right to say no, and the employer cannot lawfully fire them then for that. But it's a real interesting issue, and not just because of healthcare workers, but because it's the goal of the Department of Health and Human Services is not only to vaccinate 90% of the healthcare workers in the country by 2020, but to vaccinate with the flu shot, but to vaccinate 80% of the rest of the U.S. population, adult population, with the influenza vaccine annually by 2020. So we all have targets on our backs. They're just going to the healthcare workers first because they want to use them as a model to hold up to the rest of the nation. Look, all your healthcare workers are vaccinated. Don't you want to get your vaccine too? So a lot of different parts and pieces to the puzzle.
Exactly. No, a lot of parts of the puzzle. You know, Alan, let's go to a break. We got a couple of people on the line who are ready to talk to us. But why don't we go to a break now? And after a break, we'll be right back with my dear friend, vaccine rights attorney, Alan Phillips.
Do you know someone who can benefit from this radio program? You can find the complete archives of this show and hundreds of others at naturalnewsradio.com. Just send your friend that link, naturalnewsradio.com, where they will find truly amazing interviews and information that simply isn't published anywhere else. In the Natural News Radio archives, you'll find interviews with Dr. Andrew Wakefield, Senator Rand Paul, Governor Jesse Ventura, Suzanne Summers, alternative cancer doctors, nutrition experts, preparedness experts, and a wealth of others. And it's all free. Listen in real time at naturalnewsradio.com or download the MP3 archive files anytime you want to listen on your phone, mobile devices, or personal computer. When you want articles on these topics, check out naturalnews.com with over 35,000 article pages on nutrition, natural cures, health freedom, and much more. It's all part of the Natural News Network. Thanks for listening. The Natural News Store is now open. Hi, this is Joni Cox with Homegrown Health with some great news for your health and your budget. Visit shopnaturalnews.com to start saving money right now on superfoods like cacao, camu camu, and acai. You'll find coconut flour, coconut sugar, and hemp seeds, as well as detox products like Zeotrex, Oxy Powder, and Nascent Iodine. You'll also find survival organic food supplies and colloidal silver. Both can help you prepare for natural disasters or other events that might threaten your health or safety. As Hurricane Sandy recently talked America, just one storm can knock out the power grid and leave us all scrambling for food and medicine. We've also got amazing herbal medicine cabinets and herbal survival kits. Plus, we're the exclusive source for the all-new Natural Attitude Turmeric Extract. It's a powerful, alcohol-free, liquid form of turmeric with high absorbability. Plus, get free shipping in the USA on orders of $99 or more. A portion of all sales helps fund health freedom and food freedom initiatives. Find all this and much more at shopnaturalnews.com. That's shopnaturalnews.com.
Have you ever wanted to learn where you can get free food and medicine from the plants growing around your neighborhood? Or how to turn your own backyard into a food production center? Or even how to reverse cancers using the latest groundbreaking research in alternative cancer therapies? You can learn all this and more from webseed.com. It's sort of like Netflix, but it's for documentaries and how-to courses on natural health, food production, self-reliance, and other life-saving topics. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, and I created WebSeed so that listeners like you could get instant streaming access to truly groundbreaking instructional courses. Our new program called Vaccines Armed and Dangerous exposes the total fraud of modern vaccine quackery, and our Surthrival course teaches emergency preparedness, including skills like how to build your own emergency water filter. Explore over 100 valuable courses and documentaries right now at WebSeed.com.
We are back live with Know Your Rights Hour. Dr. Mayor Eisenstein, Attorney Alan Phillips. Mayor, before we go to the phones, we got a couple people calling in this evening on the line with us. I just wanted to let folks know, you know, you're always very outspoken about vitamin D, vitamin C, probiotics, and I just want to let people know that you offer these and other valuable supplements at homefirst.com, and you do something that, from what I understand, is fairly unique, and which I think is something that makes some of your supplements stand out, in that you combine the probiotics, for example, with vitamin D and other combinations of things. I don't know if you want to take just a quick minute or two to explain or elaborate on that, but it helps, of course, with the absorption of the vitamin D. So, you know, you can get vitamin D from a lot of sources, but I don't think you can get vitamin D combined with probiotics from very many other sources. And I just wanted to point out the uniqueness of what it is that you offer and let people know that when they purchase these products from you, not only are they getting a quality product, but they're supporting the work that you do here on this radio show and elsewhere. And it's a good thing to do. I just put in an order today myself, actually last night, because I'm out of vitamin D and I need some. So I encourage others to follow my example there and get some of the quality vitamin D and other things that you have there.
This is something, you know, that started about 7 or 8 years ago. My brother-in-law is a retired psychiatrist, and he noticed in his multivitamins, the ones that he had from ours, that which have probiotics in them. And the reason I put probiotics into the multivitamins, because I felt it would just enhance the value of what you're getting. It never dawned on me that it would really enhance the potency. But he said he didn't see the same dark yellow in his urine, which comes from the B vitamins. And he looked at the amounts of B vitamins, and he tested against other natural vitamins, And he found that all the other natural vitamins caused him to have a dark yellow color in his urine. And he surmised that the probiotics were enhancing the potency and absorption. So I started doing some research, and I found a study that was done about 20 years ago by an internist. He was treating mainly patients with high blood pressure with a medication called atenolol, and he went to a compounding pharmacist, and he had half the patients in his little study took the atenolol with the probiotics. So they're all in a capsule. No one could tell which they were taking. And half of them, he had them taking just atenolol without probiotics. At the end of 6 weeks, the atenolol with probiotics group blood pressure was 15% lower than the other group. That's a staggering amount in blood pressure. It could be the difference between serious high blood pressure and normal blood pressure. And so he wrote this whole paper on that, and I said, oh, my God, I bet you that's going to be the same with everything else. So we started putting probiotics into our vitamin D, our vitamin C. We put it into our digestive enzymes. Anything that we can get in a dry powder, we put probiotics into it. So I'm very excited about it because when you in the supplement business, it turns out that the ingredients are the least costly of any of the of the substances. It's the packaging, the encapsulation, you know, which cost the majority. So adding something else in, and I always believe that it's always better to get a bigger bang for your buck, you know. And thank you very much, Alan. I think our vitamin D is the most unique thing in the world with the probiotics in it, and I'm hoping that other companies emulate what we're doing because I think it's the right way to go. Thank you. And you can get it at homefirst.com. It's HOMEFIRST.com. You can just click on the store, and you can take a look at everything that we have.
Sounds great, Mayor. Glad to know that you found some research backing up your obviously great instincts on that. Well, we've got a couple of callers here. A caller from area code 206. Tell us your name. You're on the first name. You're on the air.
Oh, hi, Alan. This is Rick Barnes.
Hey, Rick. How you doing?
Good. How
Hello,
are you?
Rick.
Hi, Dr. Mayer. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Good. Well, thanks for letting me punch in here for a minute. I've talked to Alan on numerous occasions, and I interviewed Alan for a film I'm doing called The Trouble with Boys. And Alan invited me to call in and kind of give a little pitch about what I'm doing there. And so it's a film about this topic. It's it's about raising kids, you know, in the shadow of public health care policy. And so, you know, it's kind of a cross between like Super Size Me and An Inconvenient Truth, I guess you would say. And it kind of comes from my standpoint of having three kids, one who's now 21, one who's 17, and then a boy we adopted who's now 8. And it kind of covers the spectrum of from where I was back when, you know, our first child was born to where we are now and my comprehension of this topic within that time frame. And so I'm doing this project, and it is on this topic, and I focus a lot on thimerosal because as the project sort of developed, I had completely forgotten that my oldest daughter was in one of those seminal thimerosal studies done in the 90s, which basically, you know, for all intents and purposes, acquitted that product, but as we all know, was not the real data. So I've got a finishing fund, a little campaign going on. It's called Indiegogo. .com, where artists, you know, try to raise completion funds for their projects. And one of the things I want to do, Dr. Mayer, is interview you, not to put you on the spotlight.
You can always put me on the spot. I'm more than honored. But you have to realize what you see is what you get.
There you go. And you know, your success with Home First Health Systems, I think is just such a valuable, data point for everyone.
Oh, thank you.
and I'm just kind of dying to meet you. You're kind of like my
pleasure.
Brad Pitt.
You know, Rick, I've got to tell you something that was very interesting. I talked to Ann Dockel today, and Ann is just a wonderful medical writer, and she writes for The Age of Autism.
Okay.
And she said, you know, we've got to get away from the narrative of vaccines cause autism. We've got to
Correct.
Talk about what Dr. King talks about, our dear friend Dr. King, that
mm-hmm.
vaccines cause, you know, not only neurological damage, but they also
yeah.
destroy the immune system. And so, you know, and you know, this is one of the real serious problems that we get too pigeonholed, you know,
yeah.
and chronic illness, you know. And I just see that
right.
Dr. King is here with us, and we're going to have him in a couple of minutes,
okay.
you know, I'm honored, Rick. Whenever we can get together, we'll do it.
Okay, that sounds great.
Rick,
so,
spell
yeah.
Spell the
Where's
URL
the
out for us.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. It is the website is Indiegogo. That's Indiegogo.
Okay.
And .com.
And at that website, you are raising funds to finish your film. Is that correct?
Yeah. And that it would be the Trouble with Boys Finishing Fund. But basically, the Trouble with Boys will get you there.
Okay. And I just wanted to really clarify that point, because, Rick, I know you've been working on this for a while, and you have interviewed
mm-hmm.
Some of the heavyweights in the alternative vaccine arena. And I tell you, from my point of view, there cannot be too many articles, videos, films, radio
right.
shows,
yeah.
anything that's going on to help raise awareness, to keep the conversation alive, to expand
yeah.
and grow the conversation. And so I just really wholeheartedly support what you're doing. And I would say that even if you hadn't interviewed me on your for your
right.
film.
but
I was honored to have had that opportunity. And I hope you and
yeah.
Mayor can catch up, because Mayor is just one of the people who's been involved in this for so long. He's...
Yeah.
I have to tell him to close his ears if I want to say, you know, say what I really want to say about just how much I look up to him and have for ever since I first discovered him when I started exploring this issue 20 years ago. And so he's definitely the top of my list of people to get on there. So I hope you guys can, you know, work out the timing of that. But and Mayor, I didn't sort of, you know, surprise you to put you on the spot either, for what that's worth. But
Alan, there's nothing you can say. I mean, Al and I have worked together for a couple of years, and I hate to use the word work. It's pleasure. We've had pleasure together, you know. And it's, you know, we obviously must have been, even though I'm older than Alan, we're twins in a certain sense, with the same type of mindset. Rick, how close is the project to being finished? Where are you sitting with the project right now?
Well, you know, I've got my quote unquote rough cut is about an hour and 23 minutes. And so I'm just kind of wrapping it up. So, you know, it's a long story, but I'm very close to finishing it. I could finish it now, but, I'm very close. Let's put it that way.
What kind of funding would you need to complete the project, Rick, at this point?
Well, on the website, you know, I've got a finishing fund campaign of $25,000. To wrap it up, you know, honestly, it will get finished regardless. It's just you know, that will help expedite certain components in finishing it.
Well, it takes time and
yeah.
resources. There's plenty of time and expense involved in putting something like this together. I think you know, a lot of people who haven't themselves in a more direct way been involved don't really appreciate sometimes just how much work and expense can go into putting together a good quality project. But we certainly wish you all the best. I hope that folks listening will consider supporting your work. Again, it's Indiegogo.com. That's Indiegogo, Indiegogo.com, and search for The Trouble with Boys. Rick Barnes, the I guess you're a producer and creator and writer and so forth for this, but wish
yeah,
you all the
better
best
or worse.
For it, you know.
Okay, and thank you, gentlemen, for your great work. And
oh, my pleasure.
Having me on. I really appreciate it.
Thank
okay,
you.
Have a
sure.
great night.
Thanks for being here.
Okay.
All right. Take
Thank
care.
You.
This, as you say, Mayor, is this Dr. King that's with us also now on the other line?
Yes, I'm here.
Dr.
Welcome,
King.
Welcome, Dr. King.
Welcome.
I'll try to make it quick and short. First of all, on the issue of flu vaccines, since the science clearly establishes they are disease-causing and disease-spreading, I don't know how anybody could justify trying to want to vaccinate the population with them other than to make money like crazy, because it makes people sick. Because the overall studies show that at least 2.5 times more likely to get sick if you get a flu shot than if you don't. Now, I think that's a pretty good thing. This it would make me not want to get a flu shot if I knew that it was twice as likely to get sick as if I didn't get one.
Well, I'm following you on that one. I can follow that logic.
And so that's been established, and since that isn't established, and that study has not been, that's that randomized double-blind placebo-controlled study with the 9 months of follow-up. Since nobody's ever published another double-blind placebo-controlled study that comes with a different answer, that's the only study that can be used because that's the gold standard for whether a drug works or not. That's the absolute gold standard. The rest of them are just stuff.
You know, Dr. King, it just goes along kind of that enterovirus D68, the majority of cases have occurred right as children went back to school. And, boy, just putting the same logic to that, here's a time where so many thousands and thousands of millions of children get vaccinated, and all of a sudden now they're more susceptible, and now they're more susceptible to something like this EV68.
Well, again, that is one of the realities of any time you attack the immune system and it turns its resources properly or improperly to any organism, it doesn't have the ability to juggle 5,000 balls at the same time. So it's focusing on something, it means it doesn't focus on the other things. And since it imbalances your immune system, since almost all vaccines operate to make your system out of whack, then obviously it's going to make much more damage than it would if it were to attack both sides of your immune system equally. If you look at the immune system as being fundamentally a two-sided organism with the two kinds of immunity that overlap and expressed in all sorts of ways that nobody understands, which is another reason why you'd say, why would anybody want to give people vaccines when they don't understand how they work? Or how should we put it? Every time they say they understand how they work, 5 minutes later, somebody publishes a study and says, oh, that's wrong. You know, that's what's happening. I mean, you have this Dr. Poland, who's a vaccinologist and a Mayo Clinic person, pointing out that the measles vaccine, the MMR vaccine, is and using measles as the model for why it's a problem, it's problematic. It's good enough, quotes, but it doesn't really do what they advertised it would do. Excuse me, I get tired of telling people it's good enough, but it doesn't do what we told you it would do. If the vaccine doesn't stop you from being at risk of getting measles, then what are you giving it for?
Exactly.
Because it has all these other negative things that it does. It kills a bunch of kids every year. It maims a whole bunch more. And of course, nobody wants to know what those real numbers are, or even discuss them, because everybody wants to say, oh, my God, if your kid's not vaccinated, you put my kid at risk of getting a disease. Well, reality is the only thing that puts your kid at risk of getting a disease is the disease-causing organism. If it's not there, your kid can't get a disease. If it is there, your kid can get a disease because it turns out most of the people who are susceptible to getting a disease are the vaccinated people, not the unvaccinated ones. So exposed to the disease, no matter how it comes, the most recent outbreak in New York was caused by a teacher who was fully vaccinated coming back from going to a place where measles exists. And she was infected, and she brought it back and gave it to everybody else. So that's the reality about disease. You can't get Ebola if there's no Ebola around. Now, turning to the issue of what to do about making money, well, the 2020 goal of vaccinating all the people with the influenza vaccine is a great way of making money. Because it makes 2.5 times as many people sick. That's going to make a lot more money, not to mention you're going to sell all these vaccine doses. You have to understand the overall vaccine program for children, whatever, is about a 20 million dose a year program, roughly, whereas the flu vaccine is now running at 150 million doses a year, and if you vaccinate everybody, it'd be 300 million doses a year. And, oh, by the way, the government gets 75 cents a dose. Ah, that's not bad. So even they make money at the deal. So that's that. As far as the goal of profit-making operations to make profit, where their only goal is to maximize their stockholders' return on the investment, supposedly, they have no ethics or anything else or morals to stop them from doing that, then obviously the goal is to get, if you could, to get every child sick before they're born with a chronic disease. And if you can't do that, we'll do the next best thing, get them sick with a chronic disease as soon as possible after they're born. And they have succeeded to the point that during childhood, roughly 50%, slightly more, of our children have at least one chronic disease. Now, I'm sure their goal would be to get 100% to have at least one chronic disease, but they've only got to 50% as of 2006. And of that 50%, more than half of those, or about 27%, are going to have, are projected to have a chronic, at least one chronic disease for their entire life. So that's a pretty good cash cow, don't you think?
Well, you're not kidding. You know, it's interesting. I got it. You know, Dr. King, you know, we have almost no asthma in our practice. And
why would you have asthma?
Yeah.
You don't vaccinate people.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I mean, it's really just, I mean, it's not a complete argument why you shouldn't vaccinate. It's just a little piece of the puzzle. You know,
well,
like you're talking.
Dr. Einstein, I'm going to stop you. First of all, the original studies that were done in New Zealand found that if you didn't get vaccinated, this is back when there weren't very many vaccines, if you didn't get vaccinated with a DPT vaccine, you didn't get any visits for asthma or whatever. Same thing with when they introduced the measles vaccine. If you didn't get vaccinated with that one, you didn't have tonsillitis and tonsillectomies. When you, the ones that were not vaccinated, and this is in a population where most of the people were breastfeeding their children. So this is the best-case scenario of what can happen when you vaccinate. So the 1970 study said DPT causes asthma and COPD and all those other bronchitis and whatever. So if you didn't use that vaccine, you wouldn't have any. So you don't use that vaccine, you don't have much. When it comes to the MMR vaccine, you don't use that. So I'd bet you if you go look, you don't have any tonsillitis and tonsillectomies in your practice either.
Yeah, right. And it's not because I don't think it's more than one or two children a year who even come in with a question of that. I mean, it's just so.
I understand that is the reality. So the studies that are being done with the European, which is ongoing, the Krieg study, where they compare unvaccinated children to the German average, and they find 2 to 5 times less disease in the unvaccinated children than they do in the vaccinated children? Excuse me? Isn't that a big enough big red flag to say, hey, you better stop doing this because it ain't working? The other thing which people want to push under the rug is the fact of all the advantages of not vaccinating that used to exist in this country but don't any longer. There's lots of evidence that having most of the childhood viral infections decreases your risk of getting cancer lifetime. And it depends on which one it is, what cancers it makes the risk go down, and also skin disease. Eczema goes way down if you're having all the diseases naturally. So if you wanted to have the least amount of overall disease, which would mean the people are very unhappy, you'd have to tolerate having acute disease where you manage it better. Because, again, why do people die from measles? They don't have enough vitamin A, D, C, etc. They don't get the proper nutritional support, and nobody bothers to check. They give them almost nothing, tell them to take an aspirin or something like that, or Tylenol, of course, to destroy your liver faster. So, again, you have an allopathic system that's totally insane. So you need to change the allopathic system back to sanity, which is, first of all, make the people healthy. Isn't that, so you have a health care system. Right now we have a disease management system masquerading as a health care system.
Absolutely.
So we have to stop having a disease management system and having a health care system. And on the issue of what to do about Ebola, don't forget colloidal silver, as long as it's really colloidal, the very tiny, tiniest particles. And you don't need more than 10 ppm. And according to the DOD study that was done by the subpart of the DoD, 10 ppm nano silver, which is the stuff with the particles are very, very tiny, 0.0001 micron. That's the best, so go get the best. And as far as products to put on your list of things to make, you should be making vitamin C dissolved in lecithin, sulfol, and the enteric coated vitamin C, or the liposomal as it's called, which is just coated with a layer of lecithin. And there's also all sorts of recipes freely available on the Internet for how to make the stuff. And you could do better on large scale than they do in the small scale things they're doing. So you could put that, and you can put that in, since it's a liquid, you'd have to put it in soft gel capsules. But they make those. You can have somebody make them for you. Or you can just tell everybody the ingredients, tell them, look, just blend these together in your blender at home and, you know, put it in your refrigerator and you got a product. I mean, you sell them part A and B. They just, all you got to do is combine these in a blender, and you sell them a little ultrasonic bath for $20-some-odd or $50-some-odd, whatever. And then when you get through blending it up real well, you put it in this ultrasonic thing, and it makes things makes the liposomes form. And then you can just take an ounce of that, and it has about 6 times the efficiency of taking vitamin C by any other way. It's 6 times as efficient as the intravenous vitamin C, which bypasses the issue of absorption, right?
Exactly.
So it's the
Dr. King.
Better.
You got a couple of minutes. I want to just say what Dr. King is saying is that there are treatments, and they're we've known them for a long time. You know, the vitamin D, liposomal vitamin C, probiotics, nano silver. You know, and I think people should start.
Well, if you have measles, vitamin A. I mean, you know, every disease has its own vitamin needs.
And what's kind of important is, I think I hate to be a fear monger. That sounds like the government's job, but I think we better start stocking up your medicine cabinet with these nutrients because they may not be available. I mean, silver. The government is outright going after silver. They stopped a shipment of silver to Africa from the Silver Saw Company, I think it was.
Two shipments.
Yeah, I mean, and it'll be the same thing with vitamin D. It's going to be the same thing with vitamin C, you know. And when they find out about liposomal vitamin C, they're going to try to, you know. I agree. I mean, we have to be proactive in a certain sense right now. And I'm going to... let me tell you, Dr. King, I'm looking into I like the liposomal vitamin C. We're looking into try to see how we can manufacture it relatively inexpensively, you know, because...
Well, but again, if you go on the Internet, there are all these things with the blender and whatever in a cheap ultrasonic bath that you can make at a larger scale. In fact, there are companies who would contract manufacture it for you at the heartbeat, because one of the things you have to do to if you're going to sell it as a composite product, it has to be in a soft gel capsule because it's liquid.
Dr. King, as always, thank you so much for being with us. We just have about a little bit over a minute left. Alan, you want to just wrap it up? Thank you so, so much. Please keep coming back.
No, you're welcome.
Boy, I want to go back and listen to this one to see if I can take some of it in, because there was a lot to get there. Well, we'll go ahead and do the exit music here then. And Mayor, of course, great pleasure as always.
Same here.
You've been listening to the Know Your Rights Hour. Dr. Mayor Eisenstein, Attorney Alan Phillips, our good friend Paul King here, Dr. Paul King, the last few minutes, and Rick Barnes, filmmaker, a little bit earlier. We're here every Monday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, 6 p.m. Pacific Time, and rebroadcast Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern and 10 a.m. Pacific. We'll see you next week.
Let no one trade your soul for dollars, dirty hands. Demand the truth, transparency. For we must be the masters of our destinies. Let freedom ring throughout the land. Let no one trade your soul for dollars, dirty hands. Demand the truth, transparency, for we must masters of our destinies. For we must be the masters of our destinies. For we must be the masters of our destinies. Oh.